This CoinWeek podcast is brought to you by PCGS. The popular PCGS Coin Price Magazine Rare Coin Market Report is back and free to all PCGS Collectors Club members and authorized dealers. This bi-monthly companion magazine to the PCGS online price guide and mobile app will feature 140 pages of coin pricing information, as well as articles written by respected numismatists. This week on the CoinWeek podcast, we diverge from our typical conversation and talk to David Sherdwan, a role-playing game designer who designed a new game called Clink, which uses coins in very interesting ways. We talk to him about the game and the novelty play mechanic next on the CoinWeek podcast. Hi, David. Thanks for joining me on the CoinWeek podcast.
Thanks for having me.
The reason I wanted to have a conversation with you this week is because you're currently developing a game where the primary play mechanic is the use of a coin to determine the outcome of player actions. Tell me a little bit about the game and why you decided to base it around the flip of a coin.
Sure. The game I'm working on is called Clink. It's built for sort of classic Westerns or Ronin films or noir. Any sort of game where a mysterious drifter wanders into a new area and makes big changes, most inspired by Clint Eastwood's spaghetti western films. My last game I did used cards, and I wanted to try to make another game using something besides dice, and coins seemed like an interesting thing to build a game around.
It would seem to me that flipping a coin provides a game player with two outcomes, heads or tails. So how does the 50-50 nature of flipping a coin benefit or limit the type of game you as a designer can create? Also, how is this different than using dice to randomize outcomes?
Well, coins not only harken back to like the classic Western of bags of bullion being stolen from a freight train, but coins also have like a special tactile feel. They have a nice weight to them. They're made of metal. You can play the game with any kind of coin, so it encourages people to use special coins that they own or special coins they have around the house. But it can also be played, you know, as long as you've got some change in your pocket. The main mechanic uses a series of connected coin flips. So you might flip a coin three times and reference a chart in the game to figure out how the outcome occurs in the game. Coins can also be used as a type of currency between the game master and the players to power up their characters and add elements to the story.
So the action prompt, where somebody has to flip the coin in your game, the gameplay is not limited to a simple two-choice outcome, is it? Are there any situations where multiple flips come in play in order to determine the outcome of an event?
Exactly. A simple coin flip would not be very interesting. So instead, this game uses a concept called escalation, where you flip a coin, and every time it lands on tails, you describe the situation getting worse and worse and worse until you finally land on heads when you eventually succeed. But by that point, you might be out of ammo, in a corner, and surrounded by bad guys, at which point, you know, what does your success really mean?
When I first read about your game project, it was through your Kickstarter campaign. Kickstarters allow inventors and entrepreneurs to demonstrate a concept and then ask for crowdfunding in order to help bring it to market. Has your Kickstarter reached its goal to fund development of the game?
Clink actually funded about a week ago. We met our goal and exceeded it by about $1,000. So that was really, really glad to see how well that went. And it should be available for purchase, retail, in about 3 or 4 months.
So will the retail version of the game come with coins, or are you letting players bring their own coins into the game?
It's a tough question. We really thought about, you know, having a special coin produced for the Kickstarter, but in the end, I didn't have the contacts that I needed to pull that off in a cost-effective manner, and we didn't feel like inflating the cost of the game. So it's just going to be a rule book. No other materials will be included or are required.
Well, from what I read, one of the settings of the game is the Old West. If you're a player who wants like an authentic experience, one of the things I would recommend you do as far as picking out the coins is to go to your local coin shop or go on eBay and buy some nice, well-worn silver quarters or silver half dollars, maybe some with the Liberty seated design, Or maybe a big circulated Morgan dollar, which was struck starting in 1878. These would have been the coins that would have been used in the Old West.
The game comes with three settings. It comes with a science fiction setting, a classic Western setting, and like a Western horror blend setting. So you can play it in either of those settings. They all have sort of a Western feel, kind of like how Firefly is a Western science fiction show.
When I was putting together my notes and preparing for our conversation, one of the things your game reminded me of was the pseudo-philosophical term flippism. I think this developed after a story in a 1950s Disney comic featuring Donald Duck, where a professor persuades Donald to make his life decisions based on flipping a coin. While this type of decision-making appears to remove rationality in favor of randomness, it does inform the flipper of their preferred outcome if that was ever in doubt, as one instinctively roots for a heads or a tails during the flip. But then I was thinking about the structure of any role-playing game that I've played, especially tabletop games, and preferred outcomes can only get you so far. I mean, when you roll the dice, although the outcome may be affected by a player's stats or buffers, there is an element of randomness.
Yep, exactly. And the use of a coin, like flipping a coin, everyone's done, everyone's familiar with it. It carries a kind of weight to it. So when someone is trying to do something tricky in the game, that coin flip can mean a lot. It holds people's attention, gets them excited for what's going to happen next. It's a very evocative act, flipping a coin.
So what were your first playtests like?
The hardest part of developing the game was figuring out how to avoid, you know, heads you win, tails you lose, how to come up with different outcomes for different actions so that, you know, one thing could be more difficult than another without having too much math involved. There's a game called Tales of Sir Arthur, I think, but it involves, like, you flip 6 or 7 or 10 coins at once, and then you count the number of heads to see how well you did. And I wanted to keep it to a single coin flip at a time. So that was probably the hardest part, and that was the most confusing part for players, was figuring out multiple coin flips, keeping track of everything, keeping it tied into the gameplay and the narrative.
Do you use the flipping mechanic at the outset of the game as players create their characters, or do you afford players the opportunity to develop the backstory of their avatars without that element of randomness?
Yeah, the characters come up with their own flaws. Every drifter is made up of certain characteristics that are created. But through the coin flips and through the game, you sort of discover the history of the characters together. So it's more of a collaborative character creation over the course of the whole game using flashbacks. So you might cut away in the middle of a gunfight and explore, you know, Johnny's drifter and how he learned how to shoot pistols and how he was raised by wolves or something. So the game has a sort of collaborative character creation, much more about storytelling than about lots of numbers and statistics and certain skills and feats.
Did you ever have a playtest where one of the characters had just had all the luck and rolled through all the scenarios without facing any adversity whatsoever? Or on the flip side, did you ever experience a playthrough where every flip was just an utter disaster and the character never had anything good come out of any situation that they were ever faced with?
Yeah, I did have a character. He created his drifter to be like this grumpy, world-weary sort of loner, and he never failed. Everything he did succeeded. His grumpiness didn't really mesh well with the fact that everything he did was a complete and total success, and it was kind of funny to follow along as this character began to accept that, like, maybe life is pretty good, maybe I'm doing okay. Pretty funny.
Well, you know, sometimes the most successful and wealthy people can be the most miserable a-holes that you've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I got into coins, I had a brief paid career writing video game criticism. This was almost 20 years ago. And like many people in that Gen X demographic, I never took both feet out of that world, even as I got older and moved on to other things. One of the aspects that interests me from a numismatic perspective about games is that coins and money in its many different forms, sometimes complex, sometimes not, but it always seems to have a role in gaming because Money drives a very human incentive to achieve wealth and riches and to acquire things. And in your game, you use money to determine outcomes, but you also afford your characters a very limited amount of money to buy things in the game. Why did you choose to do this and impose a limit on the monetary system of Clink?
Well, I'm actually cribbing from, there's a lot of games these days that are using coins or tokens as a way for the characters to have more control over the story. It used to be in the days of Gygax and classic Dungeons & Dragons that the GM was sort of this all-powerful god who controlled everything, and the players didn't have much, you know, they could react to what happened, but they didn't have much control. And the latest trend for games today is to give players a limited amount of tools where they can tell the GM, no, it's not that way, or I want to change this detail about the world, or I don't like the way that that happened, I'm going to spend this currency to make it different. And so Clink sort of jumps on that bandwagon and uses the currency as a way for the players to have a little more control over the situation. When the GM says something like, you're trapped in the carriage and you can't get out, a player can spend a coin and say, I've worked on carriages all my life. I know that all carriages have a back door, and he can open up the back door and escape. It's a way to empower the players and give them more control over the story.
You know, I think if I was a DM in such a situation, I would offer my players premium upgrades that they could buy before the game started, things they could pay me with real money for items such as in-game merch or exotic armor or custom skins. But, you know, that's just how I roll. When will the game be out, and how would somebody buy the game if it wasn't stocked at their local store?
The easiest way to follow it is to look up the Kickstarter. If you Google Clink, C-L-I-N-K, Clink RPG, or Clink Drifters, you should be able to find the Kickstarter from the top of the Google results. And the Kickstarter is where we'll post updates, and when it's available for sale, that's where the links will be for people to purchase a copy.
And how much will it cost?
I think the PDF is going to be $10, and the soft cover book is going to be about $20. But don't quote me on that. We haven't gotten the final quote from our printer yet, but that's the goal. That's the price range we're looking at.
You know, make sure you go to your local coin shop and get yourself some nicely circulated coins. It'll definitely add to your gameplay experience.
Yes. Definitely pick a coin that is special to you that you think will fit the tone of the game and express something about your characters.
All right, David, thanks for joining me in this lively discussion about your game and explaining how you used coins to bring your game world to life.
Thanks, Charles, for having me on.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. And remember, you can download all 73 episodes of CoinWeek's award-winning podcast for free on the iTunes Store. For CoinWeek, I'm Editor Charles Morgan. Until next time, happy collecting.